Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, October 16th, 2024, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza, who is downstairs resting, but he did the Lime Rock. Lime Rock, Lime Bites, what can I say? So Lime Rock is the rock has lime in it, calcium carbonate, that has nothing to do with Lyme disease. Anyway, Lime Rock is out in Salisbury. He staffed and helped with a gravel ride out in Salisbury, Lakeville, which is part of Salisbury, Connecticut, on the other side of the state. So he's exhausted today. He's going to make his show tomorrow, and he's downstairs resting. Anyway, so this show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, October 16, 2024. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. It's a dreary and cool day today. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So, poor Ron, he's still having issues with his muscles, and we're trying to figure out what it is. And the latest thing is he's getting some neurological symptoms in his feet. So he's going to go to his primary care physician. We'll see if he needs to go to a neurologist. And I think that I need to contact my colleague Jade to see if he has any ideas on how to rebuild muscle in someone who's had severe damage as to, because from taking a PCSK9 inhibitor. So he still he's able to ride on flats, but when he has to have power, he doesn't seem to have power. So it sounds like he's not making his fast twitch muscles. So we're trying to work on that. I did get something across my desk about from Susan Weed. Susan Reed is a greatly respected herbalist who hangs out in upstate New York, not too far upstate New York. Upstate New York is basically north of New York City. And that's where she is. She's in Woodstock, Saugerties, that area. And she, she talked about various herbs that can help to stimulate your mitochondria. And she talked about very simple everyday herbs that are easy to get. And I actually bought some nettles. I have linden. I bought some nettles and oat straw to make tea. So nettles, oat straw, linden, comfrey, and red clover. So those are five really easy, inexpensive herbs that you can get. And you can make, I would recommend making tea into them. I'm trying to do less tincture right now because I'm doing all the tinctures for my Lyme and Bartonella treatment. And I'm trying to back off on alcohol because I figured out that my Limerita, my Lyme tinctures together, I'm actually having an alcoholic drink every 3 days. That's what it amounts to, that the amount of alcohol. It's a third of a drink a day. And I don't drink. I don't like to. I mean, I drink rarely. And I'm not somebody who's big on alcohol. So I'm trying to back off on how much alcohol I take. So if I can get other herbs in capsules or in glycerides, that's what I'm doing. And also in teas. And tea is a very nurturing, soothing way to consume something. And this time of year, it's lovely to have a hot cup of tea. You know, it's getting dreary and cold. Weather's classically like what it does in Connecticut. You get a couple of weeks where it's really nice weather, and then the weather really starts to drop, and you have nights where there's warning of frost, and we're already getting that. We've had years where there's been snow around Halloween, the day before and the day of Halloween, and that's a possibility this year, I think, because temperature really is dropping. Today, I don't know if we're going to see 60 degrees. If we do, we'll barely see 60 degrees. I'm not sure if I should be wearing this short sleeve shirt. If you can see me on Facebook Live and Instagram Live, my mom gave me this cute shirt. It has a watermelon on it. It's really cool. So that's what I'm wearing today. Watermelon's good for you. It has L-citrulline in it, which your body turns into L-arginine, which is a wonderful amino acid to help you with muscle strength, and also to it's great for circulation. It's a nitric oxide enhancer. Anyway, so So anyway, that's what's going on with Ron. I'm not doing too badly. You may have heard that I decided that my heredity is too much and I have too much stress to not take a blood pressure medicine. So I am experimenting with lisinopril, which is an ACE inhibitor. And last night I went to the second dose level. I was doing 2.5 milligrams, which is a teeny tiny dose, and I was doing very well with it. Last night I took 5 milligrams, and my doctor prescribed me, he's approved me for 3 months of 5 milligrams, and we'll see how I do with the 5 milligrams and if I can tolerate that and how well it controls my blood pressure. So the 2.5 wasn't quite controlling the blood pressure. It's definitely on the average better, but it's not, I'm still getting those really high spikes sometimes, and I want to see if the 5 milligrams improves that. And I'm probably going to stay at 5 milligrams for a while and work on other things like caffeine and sugar and that sort of thing. I already work on the stress reduction. I do my lovely yoga and my restorative yoga and my yin yoga, and get plenty of sleep and do my exercise and eat my veggies. I just have to work on caffeine and sugar. And I know that getting off caffeine and sugar really made a difference for my mother, that her blood pressure tends to run lower even on a med. Then since she was also drinking alcohol more regularly. She goes to the clubhouse and where she lives, and she has a drink. So she's doing a lot less of that. So caffeine, alcohol, and sugar, if you have blood pressure issues, all three of those can raise your blood pressure. And if you are thinking about getting off medications or trying to not take medications, if you're eating too much sugar and drinking too much caffeine or alcohol, getting off all of those completely can make a big difference, and cutting back on them can also make a difference, because my mother's not 100% off them, but her blood pressure is running lower now that she's not doing them as much. So then I have my knee. My knee is slightly cranky, but not bad. I'm able to ride my bike. I rode indoors the last 2 days because it was just too dreary, and I probably could have gone outside because it was threatening rain, but I don't know if it actually did. I think it's a little icky out there right now, but I chose to ride indoors, and after riding today and doing some interval workouts, my knee's a little bit sore. So I have an herbal patch on it, and I have some Tiger Balm on it. I like Tiger Balm if it's acutely a little sore, and it's not terrible, but the back of my knee feels a little bit sore, so I put the Tiger Balm on. Tiger Balm has salicylates in it, has methyl salicylate, has like camphor and willow and some herbal extracts that have and menthol, and has that are anti-inflammatory. So I used that today, and I have an herbal patch that has a number of anti-inflammatory herbs in it, and I still have the KT tape on it. So that's good. In terms of Lyme symptoms, I'm doing pretty good. I had one short bout of tremors the Thursday before I left for Florida, and that was that was probably almost three weeks ago, and then none since. And I'm continuing to take the Lyme tinctures, and I'm going to see Marissa Hauser on Wednesday, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'll get some support from another naturopath who is a Lyme expert, and so I'm going to get overseen, and we'll let you know how that goes. So I'm looking forward to that and getting help from somebody who is not me, because I've been kind of flying solo with this, and I want somebody else to take a look at me. And I want to try to avoid taking antibiotics, and I think doing what I'm doing, I can avoid antibiotics. And if I were to take antibiotics, it would just wreck my GI. But I feel like I'm sort of crawling out. The only things I get now, I have to care for this knee. I'm working on my Lyme symptoms, and the Lyme, it's basically the tremors, and I have not had tremors since before Florida, which is great. And the other thing is bouts of extreme fatigue, and the extreme fatigue tends to happen after a hard work day or two hard work days in a row, and that I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up the next morning and I won't feel refreshed. And that lasts about a day or less than a day, and the following day, like that happened at Saturday, I felt pretty logy. It was also Yom Kippur, I was mostly fasting, not 100%, because my health issues make it so I can't fast 100%. And if you're taking a blood pressure med, especially one like lisinopril works on the angiotensin-converting enzyme pathway, which ultimately makes you lose water and lose sodium. So you have to drink. So I wasn't going to starve on water. And with the autonomic weirdness, which is a lot better, I didn't want to completely tank my blood sugar. So I ate lightly. I ate fruit. I basically ate plums and grapes, and I had a little bit of a protein bar, and that's all I had during the day. And then I had breakfast on Saturday night, and boy, was that good. The breakfast was so good that my homemade apple crisp only got half eaten, and I got to bring half of it home, which is very exciting. By the way, if you want to make a yummy apple crisp and gluten-free, here's what I do. I take a bunch of apples. I have mostly Granny Smiths because they hold up under, they're sour and they hold up under sweetener, and they hold up in the oven, and they tend to be firm. I threw in one non-Granny Smith apple. I put in, I think I used three Granny Smiths, it was either Cortland or McCown, one of those, and then one Asian pear, and that gives it a bit of sweetness. And then I sprinkle, you know, just a little bit of evaporated cane juice. I've found that to taste, evaporated cane juice tastes better than coconut sugar. I tried coconut sugar because it's lower glycemic, but I didn't like the way it tasted. So I sprinkle evaporated cane juice. And this evaporated cane juice, it's cane sugar with the water taken out. And that's the extent of the processing. That's all it is. It's cane, you know, cane juice, water removed, and so it's very big brown granules, and it's very unprocessed. So I throw that in over it. I sprinkle a bunch over it. I sprinkle a bunch of maple syrup over the apples, and then a bunch of cinnamon just to taste. And then I make streusel, and the streusel is just a lot of fun. I take three sticks of butter. You can do real butter, or you can use plant-based butter, which can be made. You can get nice plant-based butter now that's made from coconut and cashew. There's a number of options as far as that goes. So if you want to do it completely vegan, you can do that. So plant three sticks of plant-based butter or real butter. And then I throw in gluten-free flour, all-purpose gluten-free flour, along with oats. And the oats can be, long-cooking rolled oats, or they can be instant oats, whatever you make sure they're organic. And I throw that in. More of evaporated cane juice and maple syrup to taste, lots of cinnamon. And I do that to taste, and then I sit with my hands and I mush it up together until it's all one. And then I cover the apples in that, and then I set the oven to 375 and bake it for 45 minutes, and it gets a little brown on the edges, and it's perfect. It's great. So you can do that. You can maybe take out one of the apples or put it in a bigger pan, and you can throw in organic berries. And for that, you can get organic. This time of year, it's hard to get fresh organic berries. The fresh organic berries are going to be transported from somewhere. It's fine to get frozen organic berries because you're just going to bake them. And you can get frozen organic berries at your favorite supermarket or at your favorite health food store. And I just take a bag of those, half a bag to a bag, depending on how big of the crisp I'm making, and throw that over top. You could do mixed berries, and then you'll get your strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, and blackberries. Or you can do any one or couple of those. Or you can get frozen cherries if you want to do that. And then you have this great antioxidant. It's a very healthy, it's a dessert, and it's very healthy. It's very easy to make. It's no-brainer. And you can bring it. It's a great thing to bring to potlucks because it's delicious. Just have to remember you might want to bring bowls along so that people can serve themselves. But it's really wonderful. I'm thinking I need to have a similar recipe that's bars, so it's not messy, so people can eat it with their fingers, because you can't eat this with your fingers. Well, you can, but it's a mess. So I was very excited about that apple crisp. Okay, so another thing I wanted to mention is that the Lime Bites conference is coming up. It's sponsored by Mariah Hinchey, who is the CEO of Tau Vitality in Hebron, and that's where I'm going to see Marissa Hauser for my Lyme treatment. So it's sponsored by her, and the conference is taking place at the Mystic Hilton on Friday and Saturday, October 25th and October 26th. For more information, you can go at shop.limebites.com. And if you want to sign up, there's ways to sign up there. You can attend the conference in person or virtually. And it should be really interesting. There's going to be a lot of great practitioners there, a lot of people who are going to speak about all kinds of aspects of Lyme disease. I went last year, and, you know, it's like any conference I go to, my head is spinning from all the information that I get, and you have to kind of decompress because it's there's so much to know and so much to learn, and I tend to learn wonderful things. And then there's lots of vendors, and there's going to be vendors for different kinds of Lyme products that can help people with Lyme disease, lots of different supplements. There's going to be vendors there selling far infrared saunas, which are a great thing to help kill Lyme disease. And I think there's going to be vendors for hyperbaric chambers, which also can be helpful. So it's really interesting. So if you're interested in that, you can go to shop.limebites.com. The conference is Friday and Saturday, October 25th and 26th. And 2024. And for more information, you can go to that website and get all the information you need and sign up and figure out how to either do it virtually or go there. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to, you know, we've been talking about weight, and I'm going to ultimately get to supplements that may help with fat loss, but we wanted to start with chia pudding because Ron was very excited. He came back from an event last weekend, the weekend before, where the chefs there made chia pudding. So we have a chia pudding recipe for you. I haven't got a chance to make it yet, but I'm hoping to do that today. I was going to make it yesterday, and then I couldn't find the raw organic cocoa powder, and Ron wasn't here to tell me where it was. And he didn't get back to me, and it got to be too late. So I'm hoping to get it done today. Chia pudding can be really delicious. Not everybody likes it. I love it. I love soaked chia seeds. I love to have chia seeds in a parfait. What I do is I have overnight oats, and I will get overnight oats in a couple of different flavors and make layers. So I'll have a layer of one flavor, then a layer of chia seeds, and a layer of more overnight oats there. Or I'll do that with I'll do overnight muesli, same thing. I'll put a layer of muesli, a layer of chia seeds, and a layer of another layer of muesli. And then I put a dairy substitute on top of it, your almond, whatever you like, almond milk or hemp milk or coconut milk. I tend to go with nut milks over rice milk because they're a little bit lower glycemic. But those are my go-tos. My go-tos are coconut, almond, and hemp. Right now I've got a container of hemp going in the fridge, and I've got, you know, stock for coconut. This chia pudding has six basic ingredients, really tough. So it's, and one of the ingredients is raw organic cocoa powder. So let me scroll down so I can get to the recipe for you. So it has a quarter cup cacao powder, unsweetened cocoa powder. So you should really use, my opinion is you should get raw unsweetened cocoa powder because you're not going to need to sweeten. You're not going to need it sweet, and you want it to be raw so you get the bioflavonoids. If it's Dutched or alkalized, you're not going to get as much antioxidant benefit from the cocoa. So it's a good idea not to use Dutched chia pudding. Use raw organic unsweetened cocoa powder. And you'd only need a quarter cup of that, 3 to 5 tablespoons maple syrup, 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon, which I will definitely be putting in, that's optional, a pinch of sea salt, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla extract, and which I've got, and you can use, again, you can use whatever dairy substitute. This one is suggesting almond milk, but you could use almond or coconut or hemp, whatever you like. And then 1/2 cup of chia seeds. And that's it. So you just, you put in the cocoa powder and then the maple syrup and the cinnamon, salt, and vanilla and whisk it. And then you add a little dairy-free milk at a time and whisk until a paste forms. Then add the remaining dairy-free milk and whisk until it's smooth. And then add the chia seeds and whisk once more to combine. Then cover and refrigerate overnight or at least 3 to 5 hours. And that's it. And you can keep it for 4 to 5 days. And this is a very basic recipe. You don't have to use cocoa powder. You can make it straight up cinnamon. You can throw fruit into it, whatever fruit you want. You can make it peach or strawberry. Remember we talked about using those frozen berries. You can throw the berries in and make a berry chia pudding. You can blend it. You could put in some 100% fruit jam if you want to. Say you want it to be strawberry flavored. You could whisk in strawberry jam and do it that way. You might have to put in a little more chia seeds because there's more liquid if you do that. But you can make it so many different flavors. And you could also keep the cocoa in and add a berry, like a raspberry or a strawberry or a blueberry. And then you'll have chocolate strawberry chia pudding, chocolate raspberry chia pudding, which is going to be heavenly. Or mint. You could throw in some peppermint extract and then you have chocolate mint chia pudding. Yum, yum, yum. So that's excellent. That's a really lovely thing to have. You could eat it for breakfast. You could eat it for dessert. You could eat it any time of day because it's only got maple syrup in it for sweetener. You could certainly have it for breakfast, which when Ron brought the excess home from the event, that's what I did. I had it for breakfast. So here's some health benefits of chia seeds. Chia seeds are my buddies. So chia seeds are very nutritious. They are incredibly rich in nutrients. They were a staple in the ancient Aztec and Mayan diets. They've been touted for their health benefits for centuries. It's possible that they promote heart health, support strong bones, improve blood sugar management. They're versatile, can be used in a lot of different recipes. They can be black or they can be white from the Salvia hispanica plant. And they're thought to be native to Central America, which means they're probably growing them other places. I mean, when you get chia seeds here, they may be grown in the U.S. somewhere. And they were historically used by the Aztecs and the Mayans in their diets for medicinal purposes, religious rituals, even cosmetics. And now they're eaten all over the world. They have protein, fat, they have alpha-linolenic acid in them. They have some carbohydrate, a lot of fiber. So, let me see, 2 tablespoons of chia seeds has 9.8 grams of fiber, which means, that 1 tablespoon of chia seeds has, 9.8 is going to be 4.5 plus 0.4 is 5.9 grams of fiber. 4.9 grams of fiber, almost 5 grams of fiber in a tablespoon of chia seeds. That's a lot of fiber. It's because the seeds are so tiny that what you're eating is mostly fiber. And then there's some calcium, some iron, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, B1 and B3. And so they're really impressive. They're also high in antioxidants. And the antioxidants that are in chia seeds help to protect the alpha-linolenic acid that's in chia seeds, the essential fatty acids, protects them from going rancid and also neutralizes reactive oxygen species in our bodies. Free radical damage contributes to aging and diseases like cancer, so eating chia seeds can help to protect you against that. Chia seeds have chlorogenic acid, caffeic acid, myrcetin, quercetin, and camphorol, which may all have protective effects on your heart and liver and anti-cancer properties. Chlorogenic acid can help lower blood pressure. So my thought is, with all the things that I consume that can lower your blood pressure, I have to believe that my blood pressure, although high, would be a lot higher if I didn't consume those things. And that's the other thing, that because I'm still taking things and eating things that can lower blood pressure, I'm hoping that'll keep my dose of lisinopril down. So that's something for you to think about as well. If you have high blood pressure, if you also do other things that help to lower blood pressure, you may be able to reduce the dose of medicine that you take and possibly not need it at all. I am not in a not needed at all place. I tried that and it's just, you know, it's the genes. I'm watching my poor mom and I'm watching my sister, and I joke that we are nervous chalielias, which is a Yiddish word for chalielia is a person who has cholera. But in Yiddish, you say a nervous chalielia. If you have cholera, you're very anxious and nervous because, you know, you're losing a lot of fluid and you're losing minerals and you're a little meshugana, which means a little nuts. So I was talking to my mother about while she, so that this is a whole other story, which I can interrupt and tell you about. I went to Florida. I was in Florida from September 28th to October 5th, and I missed Helene. So Helene had come and gone, and Helene really didn't do badly in the city of Venice. So that was fortunate. And I left before Milton showed up. So I left on October 5th, and there was absolutely no problem getting home, because Milton didn't show up until Wednesday the 9th. And so Wednesday the 9th overnight to Thursday the 10th. And my mother, so God bless my cousin Mark, who decided that he was going to cart my mother, his wife Lynn, and their friend Susie, and take them to Columbus, Georgia. So they weathered the hurricane in Columbus, Georgia. And there were towns in Georgia that were inviting people and saying, come up, we've got space for you, we've got hotels. So that's what they did. They went to Columbus, Georgia, which is an interesting spot. It was well out of harm's way and hadn't been affected by Helene. And it's on the Alabama border. It's right over the border from Phenix City, Alabama. So they went there and they had a grueling 14-hour drive up and with a lot of traffic. And my mom, who has blood pressure issues, her blood pressure spiked. So she had to go to the hospital. And then she... And they took wonderful care of her at the two hospitals, the one in Columbus and the other one in Phenix City. So she went to the hospital in Georgia and Alabama. It was really, and so now she's just fine. They were able to give her a med to help to bring it down. And now she's much happier because Milton came to Venice, Florida, and it didn't do too badly. I mean, I believe that the storm surge came onto Venice Island and then onto the beach, but it receded and they didn't have too much damage. Siesta Key, of course, did not do well at all. Siesta Key is a key that's close to Sarasota. It made landfall on some Siesta Key, so Siesta Key is a mess. But Venice is maybe 20 miles south, not even, of Siesta Key, and it did very well. My mother's house was absolutely fine. Her garage door magically opened during the storm. And it was unable to be closed. I mean, somebody could have come and closed it. But when they got power back, no problem. They were able to close the garage doors, no problem. It was just, it somehow got opened during the course of the storm. And then when the power got back on, they shut it. And she never knew she didn't have power because she had power when she got home. She only didn't have internet. So anyway, so that was exciting. My friends from Florida, they're all writing, I would like to cancel my subscription to the Hurricane of the Month Club. There's another storm that's forming in the Atlantic right now, but it looks like it's not going to do anything. And hopefully the water's getting cool enough that we're done with major hurricanes for the year, because Milton was scary. And I'm so glad that, thank goodness that my cousin Mark was so loving and caring that he could come and get my mother and take her out of harm's way and then drive her back. And now she's home and relaxing and it's all good. So I explained to my mother that we're kind of nervous Cayelias, and she had to tell everybody because she thought that was really funny. But, you know, there's a Yiddish word for everything. And when you say a Yiddish word, Yiddish words don't just have one meaning. It doesn't just mean a person with cholera. It's the whole picture of a person with cholera. They're anxious, they're nervous, they're upset, and it paints a picture. So Yiddish words are like that. So, you know, go spin your head around and pretend it's me, you know, means a lot of different things. It's kind of funny. So anyway, so let's talk more about chia seeds, that there are fiber and protein in chia seeds that can be helpful for fat loss. So one ounce of chia seeds, which is a tablespoon, has 10 grams of fiber. So they're 35% fiber by weight. And that's because they're so tiny. Mostly when you're eating tiny seeds, you're going to be eating a lot of fiber because you're eating a lot of seeds. And if you soak them first, then they'll go through more readily and they really help to bulk up your stool and make them easy to pass. Some studies suggest that eating fiber may help provide a role in preventing weight loss or preventing weight overweight and obesity, and the protein can help reduce appetite and food intake. And there was a study where they found that giving 7 grams or 14 grams of chia seeds mixed with yogurt for breakfast increased feelings of fullness and reduced food intake in the short term compared with eating chia-free yogurt. So if you like to eat yogurt in the morning, it's a good idea to throw in chia seeds, which is something that I do. And for breakfast, I either have overnight oats or I have yogurt. And because I'm avoiding dairy, I have coconut-based yogurt. And I will layer, as I talked about with layering the overnight oats or muesli with chia seeds, I layer yogurt the same way. I'll do that. A layer of yogurt, a layer of chia seeds, a layer of more layer of yogurt. And then I'll sprinkle a little bit of crunchy granola on top of it. And it's a nice breakfast. And, you know, and I throw fruit on top of it, put berries on top of that. And that's my breakfast. So there was a 6-month study with 77 people with overweight or obesity and type 2 diabetes who did a reduced calorie diet, found that those who took chia seeds daily had significantly greater weight loss than those who received a placebo. So chia seeds can help you with fat loss. Much nicer than taking a drug, I think. Adding chia seeds to your diet is unlikely to cause weight loss on its own. It may be a useful addition to a balanced, nutritious diet if you're trying to lose weight. Don't count on chia seeds to make you lose 20 pounds. But if you are reducing your calories while attempting hormonal balance and eating a whole foods diet, incorporating chia seeds into your diet can be helpful. Chia seeds may lower your risk of cardiovascular disease because they're high in fiber and omega-3s. That's how they might help. Soluble fiber, which is mostly what's found in chia seeds, can help lower your total and LDL cholesterol in your blood, and that can reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. Consuming alpha-linolenic acid, the omega-3 fatty acid in chia seeds, has also been linked to decreased heart disease risk. So they're still looking at studies. And they did a rat study where they saw that chia seeds can help with lowering triglycerides and oxidative stress levels. And there was a human study that showed that chia supplements significantly reduce blood pressure in people with hypertension. So how much chia seeds do I have to eat? So again, if I consume chia seeds, I'm already at 5 milligrams of lisinopril. Maybe I won't have to go any higher. I have friends who their dose is 10 milligrams and that's what they're taking. And I did my 5 milligrams for the first time tonight. I'll do it again tonight. And I'll, as long as I don't get dizzy or lightheaded or anything, I think the key to not getting dizzy while taking hypertension medicine is this water. Because one of the ways that an ACE inhibitor works is to have you release more sodium and water. And so you get a little dehydrated, so you want to drink more. You have to keep your hydration up. So chia seeds are high in calcium, phosphorus, and magnesium, and those are all helpful for having strong bones. Alpha-linolenic acid in chia seeds may play a role in bone health. There are observational studies that found that consuming alpha-linolenic acid could be associated with increased bone mineral density. So I'm guessing that if alpha-linolenic acid can help, so can omega-3 fatty acids in fish oil, which I'm also taking. So besides animal studies, a limited number of studies have explored it, and we need more research. Chia seeds may reduce blood sugar levels because it's fiber. Fiber and fatty acids, so those are things that can reduce blood sugar levels. People with diabetes get high blood sugar, and when you have consistently high fasting blood sugar levels, it's associated with a risk of several complications, including cardiovascular disease. And animal studies have found that chia seeds may improve insulin sensitivity that can stabilize blood sugar levels after meals. And there's older research from 2010 and 2013, which is now considered to be a long time ago. If you eat bread with chia seeds in it, it can help lower post-meal rises in blood sugar among healthy adults compared with eating bread without chia seeds. Nevertheless, more research is needed. Anyway, here's an idea. So there are brands of jam that you can buy that have chia seeds stirred into the jam, and they're really wonderful. So those, you can buy those at a health food store. You can also simply buy your favorite jam, whatever that is, whether it has chia seeds in it or not, and stir chia seeds into it. So that's something that I will do too. So if you have a favorite bread and it doesn't have chia seeds in it, maybe you want a PB&J or just butter and jam or just jam, you can you can take the jam and you can stir chia seeds into it immediately. Or if you want the chia seeds to soak in the jam, take some of the jam and put it into another jar, because you're not going to have room if the jar is full. So you'll have to transfer it or wait till the jam jar is down a little bit. Then you throw chia seeds into it and stir it in. Or you can just take the jam out of the jam jar, stir it, put it into a bowl and stir it up. And the thing is, it's going to take up more space, so you may need another jar. But that's something you can do. You can just throw chia seeds into your jam and then spread it onto bread. And if you have 100% fruit jam with chia seeds in it, that's going to be better for your blood sugar than if you did not have the chia seeds. And you don't have to get special bread that has chia seeds in it. You can get whatever bread you're now eating. Hopefully you're not eating, you know, white bread with sugar, bleached white bread with sugar. If you're not gluten intolerant, that you're eating 100% whole grain bread and it's organic. And if you are gluten intolerant, you're eating whole grain gluten-free bread. So, and if you want the chia seeds, there's other ways to get it in. You can incorporate chia seeds into your diet in a lot of different ways. You can add them to pretty much anything. Personally, I like to put them over my oats and my yogurt. I will put them in jam sometimes, but they are fine in savory dishes too. So if I haven't had a lot of chia seeds through the day, when I'm having soup, I will tend to sprinkle chia seeds and or flax seeds and or hemp seeds over my soup and just have it as part of the soup. I mean, they have a nice nutty taste, so they're not going to interfere with the flavor of your soup. And you can put them in sauces. You can even use them as an egg substitute, so you can use them in baking. And they seem to be well tolerated. If you're not used to eating a lot of fiber, if you go from 0 to 3 tablespoons of chia seeds, you might get some gas. So you may want to add them slowly. Start with a teaspoon or two and then gradually work your way up, because you will go to the bathroom more and you might get some gas. I don't find that gives me gas. What gives me gas is eating badly. If I eat too much dairy, I can't eat much dairy at all. Or if I eat too much sugar, that's what gives me gas. And so if I eat food intolerances, then I get gas. But a common serving is like 2 or 3 tablespoons of chia seeds a day. And if you're going to do chia seeds, please drink water or you'll get stopped up. Chia, flax, and hemp seeds, if you need to drink a lot of water or it'll slow you down. But if you do drink water along with the chia seeds, then you're gonna have more regularity, and it's possible to overdo it, because, you know, I find that I have to limit how much chia seeds I eat in a day, because I do eat lots of other fiber, because I eat fruits and oats and vegetables and, you know, big salads, and I put vegetables on my sandwiches. I eat whole grain bread, so I can only get away with maybe a tablespoon of chia seeds in a day because of all the other fiber that I eat. And if that's what you're doing and you're very regular, then you're fine. That's really good. Chia seeds may help reduce belly fat. They don't reduce it completely. I think if you want to reduce it completely, you have to completely avoid sugar. But again, I think I would be larger if I didn't eat chia seeds. And if you have a spoonful a day, a tablespoon is a pretty small amount, and most people can get away with it. And that depends, but absolutely, it depends on you. It depends on how your body is working, what else is going on, and you could try it. The bottom line is that they're rich in omega-3 fats, antioxidants, and fiber, easy to prepare. And there's studies that show they have a lot of health benefits, ranging from weight loss to a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. We need more studies on them. You can incorporate them into oatmeal smoothies, yogurt, baked goods, and I think even into savory dishes. Like I said, you can sprinkle them on top of soups and stews or chili. So, and if you want to, you can make chia pudding. And if you don't remember the recipe that I just told you, there are so many online. You can just find them there. Okay, so now I wanted to talk about fall allergies, because it's timely, and some of you are probably suffering from them. So there are basic fall allergies. We've still got some ragweed blooming. Everything is dying back right now, but Ragweed plants are pollen factories. They're just ridiculous. They can produce like a billion grains of pollen a season. One plant. It blooms in August, but can cause allergic symptoms well into the fall until the first freeze kills the plant. And we have not quite had the first freeze yet, although it's coming. So the thing is, when we get the first freeze, the first real freeze, then those plants are going to start to die back. But they're threatening for freezes for this coming week, so that may happen. But it's already the middle of October, and there's still going to be ragweed plants out there if it hasn't frozen yet. It's most prevalent in the East and the Midwest, so we have tons of ragweed here. I walk on the side of the road and I see the ragweed growing like crazy. And you can watch your pollen count. Personally, I use WeatherBug, and WeatherBug, if you scroll down, it'll tell you what the pollen count of the day is and what's producing the pollen. And if you look at WeatherBug right now, you'll see that there's still pollen. But you can use any weather service. There are lots of weather apps you can use. There's probably allergy apps you can use as well to tell you how much pollen is happening. And if you're really, really allergic, you need to stay indoors as much as possible during peak hours, which would be mid-morning to early afternoon. And you might want to wear a mask outside, a painter's mask, to filter out the pollen. You need to keep your home and car windows closed and take off your shoes and jacket before entering your home so you don't track pollen in. And wash your clothes, linens, and curtains regularly, and don't line dry your... That's such a bummer. Don't line dry your laundry outdoors, and bathe your pets frequently, especially if they go outside. And then there's mold and mildew. So mold and mildew are a big problem this time of year because you have plants that are dying back. So mold and mildew, they grow from spores like pollen that are spread by wind and out indoor air. They tend to grow, and these tend to grow year round. In the fall, they grow on damp fall. Like I said, the people have mold allergies this time of year. Even if you don't come up positive for mold, mold can irritate your immune system in a way that's not necessarily allergies. And you can get what I like to call a mold cold. And mold and mildew aren't killed by the first frost, but they do tend to go into a dormant phase in the winter months. When it gets really cold out, it's less of a problem. That's why, you know, people's respiratory allergies tend to take a break when it gets really cold out, and the mold tends to die, it tends to calm down. But the spores are hardy. That's why they're spores. So if you want to reduce mold, you need to rake your fallen leaves and remove leaves from the gutters, and don't leave piles in your yard, and keep compost and yard waste piles far away from the house. Wear a protective mask when raking and cleaning compost bins, and empty the bins regularly, and use a dehumidifier in the house. You want your house air to be between 35 and 50% humidity. Make sure your bathrooms are clean and the kitchen as well. You can use vinegar or store-bought anti-mildew agents to help with mold and mildew. Then there's dust mites. Good times. Dust mites are all year, and I'm actually measured allergic to dust mites. They are microscopic arthropods, which means they're not insects exactly. But they're arthropods, so they're kind of like spiders. They feed primarily on flakes of human skin that you shed around the house. And so the thing with dust mites is they have a relationship with us, whereas pollen is just hitching a ride to get to the next flower, and is still irritating to us. But dust mites, we are part of its life cycle, so they are always around. And they thrive in temperatures ranging from the 60s to the 70s. So if your house is between the 60s and 70s, they're going to be indoors. So they die in extreme temperatures. So if it's really hot, you don't have as much dust mites. And if it gets cold, you don't have as much in the way of dust mites. And they don't like dry either. They rely on humidity as well. If the humidity is below 70%, they tend to calm down as well. And so if you keep your house 35 to 50%, you're not going to have as much problem with dust mites. It's almost impossible to completely rid your home of dust mites because, again, we're part of their life cycle. So, but you can beat them back. So you want to keep your air vents clean through the house, and you want to make sure they're clean before you turn on the central heating, because they will blow out of the central heating. If we don't do that, I'm sneezing for a while until the dust mites are done. And wear a mask while you're cleaning up, and consider having hardwood floors instead of wall-to-wall carpet. Carpet will hold on to dust mites and mold. And then pets. Pet dander has dead skin that's shed by animals in the home. I venture to guess that dust mites are going to eat pet dander too if it has skin cells in it. 40% of people with seasonal allergies also have pet allergies. They're triggered by an immune system that reacts to dander, fur, saliva, or urine from pets. And when I used to work with rats in the pharma, yes, I've worked with rats in the pharmaceutical industry. We all were really allergic to the rats, and I used to take allergy medicine. This was a long time ago. I worked in the pharmaceutical industry from the time I was probably 22 till I went to naturopathic college, so for about 5 years. And we all were allergic to the rats. If the rats would scratch us, we'd get welts. They looked like mosquito bites. And that was probably from the urine, you know, because they pee and they step in their urine, and they would scratch us, and you get welts where they would scratch us. And then the dander was very allergenic. When we were working with the rats, we had to wear masks because we'd be sneezing our faces off if we didn't. And I remember back in the day, I took Celdane, and Celdane is off the market. It wasn't, it was an antihistamine that didn't have a lot of side effects, but apparently it did because it was taken off the market. But the rats were very allergenic. And this is interesting, for allergenic dogs, St. Bernards and Bulldogs are among the worst, and cats are twice as likely as dogs to cause allergenic reactions in humans. So I didn't know that Bulldogs and St. Bernards were so allergenic. But things that have hair, not fur, your poodles and your labradoodles and your poodle that they have hair, like your Bichon Frises and your Havanese and your Shih Tzus, the ones with hair, not fur, they tend not to make so much dander. They tend to be hypoallergenic. My puppy brother, may he rest at the Rainbow Bridge, Nico, he was a Lagato Romagnolo, which is an Italian water dog. And the Italian water dog and the Portuguese water dog are precursors to the modern poodle. And they have that same kind of hair, that same kind of curly hair, and they really are hypoallergenic. So if you have allergies to furry pets, you might want to stay away from cats and dogs. If you want to have a family pet, consider the hypoallergenic breeds. And this article suggested the Havanese. Like I said, they're so cute. My mother's friend Susie has a Havanese, and she's apparently really adorable. It's like a super cute lap dog. And my friend Randy has a Schnoodle, Fergus the Schnoodle. Oh, is he cute? He's just a very sweet dog. He's very smart and he's very loving. A Schnoodle is a Schnauzer poodle. And again, very hypoallergenic. And so it says here directly, Schnauzers are, so I wasn't thinking of Schnauzers because they have short, they don't have curly hair, but they Schnauzers are hypoallergenic as well. And they're super cute. And then if you get them into the mixed breed, the Schnoodle, so cute. And make sure you wash and groom them regularly, and wear a mask when you're washing them to keep your allergies in check. And you might want to consider having pets only go into specific areas of your home and keep them off the furniture. And keep litter boxes and bedding away from air vents, and also use air purifiers. Get yourself a HEPA filter to take the allergens out of the air. So for many people, fall allergies, you can control them with over-the-counter or prescription allergy meds that have antihistamines in it. They usually come in the form of pills, lozenges, eye drops, and nasal sprays. You can also use your neti pot with a saline rinse. So remember that everybody has mold in their nose. It's a matter of how much you have and whether you clean your nose out regularly. If you clean your nose out regularly, you'll have a reduced amount of mold in your nose. But mold loves to live in your nose because it's a warm, damp place. So be aware of that. And if you use a neti pot, you're going to be flushing things out. And if you use tea tree oil, and you have to use salt in your neti pot. It has to be at some level of saline or it will burn your nose. It won't feel good when it goes in. When you use your neti pot, you're going to have your warm salt water and you pour it in one side and it comes out the other side and it'll flush everything out. If you can't deal with using a neti pot, you can use saline nasal sprays. I like saline nasal sprays that have either grapefruit seed extract in it or xylitol or have other herbs in it or silver. That's something that I'm using now. It has some antimicrobial herbs and tea tree oil and thyme, and has to be in a base of saline, because like I said, if there's no saline in it, it'll burn your nose. But you can just use your neti pot and put in neti pots usually require about half a cup of water, and you put in maybe a quarter to a half teaspoon of sea salt and stir it around. You put one drop of tea tree oil in it and it'll clean everything out. But you can use nasal sprays that have xylitol, have grapefruit seed extract and saline, and have herbs in it, or silver. And the silver will help to keep things at bay as well. And those will help to keep not only mold at bay, but also viruses and bacteria. So, if you have immunotherapy, you're going to get allergy shots that are going to help you to be more resistant to the allergens you're getting the shots for. And then you have to see how much you can spend outside. And naturopaths, for allergies all year round, I really like nettles. That's nettle leaf. And nettle leaf has antihistamine properties in it, and it has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it. I also like quercetin. Quercetin is a bioflavonoid that has antihistamine properties. Good old vitamin C, whether you eat it in food, and this time of year you can be eating the rest of the tomatoes that you canned. You can be eating apples, and you can always eat kiwi fruit and citrus. Citrus, we live in the north, so citrus is not native to this area. And yet I tell people if they can stomach citrus, if they do well with citrus, then go ahead and eat it, especially when it's in season. So it comes into season in Florida in December, January, February. And if you're getting Florida citrus, it's not being transported that far. And so I think that time of year, even though it's not, you're not able to grow it here, it's at local as far as Florida, and it's not being transported that far. And that's a good time of year to eat it. And you know how for Christmas or the holidays, you get big containers of clementines. And the clementines can be coming from a lot of places. Clementines are usually not coming from Florida. They're coming from Spain and Morocco and places like that. But I still say if it's the time of year when they're in season, go ahead and eat them, because you're going to get fresh vitamin C. You're going to get bioflavonoids. You know that the bioflavonoids are in the pith. They're in that white stuff, this white stuff that holds the sections of the citrus together. And it's also in the peel. So if you get organic citrus, you can grate the citrus peel into your cooking. You can grate it over a fish. You can grate it into other recipes. You can grate it into baking, and you're going to get some bioflavonoids that way. So that's helpful. So we use bromelain as well. I don't do well with bromelain. Bromelain is a proteolytic enzyme that comes from pineapple. I do fine with pineapple, but bromelain upsets my stomach, but a lot of people are just fine with bromelain. Bromelain is a proteolytic enzyme, so it breaks down inflammatory compounds, and it's also antimicrobial. So it's a great thing to take for allergies and during the cold and flu season. So vitamin C, bromelain, and quercetin together, they're products you can get, all of those, and those can all be helpful. Eyebright is another one, especially if you have eye problems. The eyebright has flavonoids that favor the eyes. That's why it's called eyebright. And if you have itchy, stingy, burning eyes, you can use eyebright tea compresses directly on your eye. You can also use black tea compresses on your eye, which just are astringent. But eyebright has flavonoids that are good for your eyes, and you can take eyebright herb, and it will help you with symptoms, not just with your eyes, but your runny nose and your scratchy throat and all that stuff. You can also do homeopathy, and there's certain homeopathic remedies we like to offer for allergy season. There's all the different cell salts, and the different cell salts we might use based on the consistency and color of your mucus. And we use cell salts for infections too, again, based on the consistency and color of your mucus. So for example, you might use Cali self-cell salt if you have thick green mucus, whereas if you have egg white mucus where it's clear and the consistency of egg white, you'd use Natrum Muriaticum cell salt. And homeopathic remedies, if you have thick gluey mucus that you can stretch in a sample between your fingers, you'd use Cali Bichromicum. So ask your friendly local homeopathic practitioner or naturopathic practitioner which cell salts or homeopathic remedies you might use. I like Sabadilla homeopathic if you are sneezing your face off. If you're sneezing like 10 times in a row, that's Sabadilla. So there's a bunch of homeopathic remedies you can use. And you can get over-the-counter mixed homeopathic remedies that are helpful for fall allergies. The other thing is, the eating season has started, and I don't know if you've noticed, but because I certainly have, Ron and I are hungrier now than we were a month ago, and it's because it's cold out, and so you might find that you're wanting to snack more. And what's happening, they're putting out the Halloween candy. I've already made a lovely apple crisp. People are baking more. People are coming indoors and they're starting to bake. So be careful of how much sugar you eat. And if you may find that if you do a sugar fast where you don't eat sugar for a few days, you might find your allergies get a lot better. You'd be surprised how much just eating candy bars and treats can increase your inflammation. And even if you tend to be allergic to mold and dust in your house, if you stay away from sugar, it can really help. The other thing that's really simple, I talked about doing citrus. If you squeeze lemon into your water, if you're having iced tea, lemon, of course, is very nice. If you don't mind hot water with lemon in it, hot water with lemon, ginger, and cayenne and honey is a great thing for both allergies and colds and flu. And lemon is mucolytic. It helps to clear mucus. And then cayenne pepper has nitric oxide properties, helps to open up your passages. Ginger is a great anti-inflammatory. And what was the other thing? Honey. Honey is great for coughs. And honey is known to be, that's been studied in children to perform better than cough syrup than for coughs in children. Remember, you don't give honey to a child who is less than a year of age because there can be bacteria in the honey that the child's immune system can't handle yet. So I wanted to talk about fall allergies because it's fall and you're probably having some allergies and you could benefit from this information. So I've talked so much about allergies and chia seeds that it is now time to go. So enjoy, and I'm going to call it a day for the moment. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Maniza, who is downstairs, not with me today. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live and Instagram Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.